Bilam's parables continue. So today, we're going to take a look at the second set of blessings. Chapter 23. And we're going to look at verse 23, and then verse 24. Bilam speaks about Hashem, who loves the Jewish people and has this unique relationship with them, and he takes them out of Mitzrayim. And then he says, "Ki loy nachash b'Yakov, for there are no soothsayers amongst Jacob. V'loy kesem b'Yisrael, there's nobody who works with any kind of charms or black magic amongst the Jewish people. Ka'esi omer li'Yakov li'Yisrael ma'pol kel." Like this time, they would say to Jacob and to Israel, "What is going on with God? What is God doing?" All right, so Rashi says that the meaning of ki loy nachash, ki, here, is a reason. The reason, he said earlier, he said, God says, he took the Jewish people, hinei baruch lakachti, I have taken them as a blessing. So what's ki? Ki is because ki ru'uyim heim levracha, because they are deserving of blessing. And why are we deserving of blessing? She'ein bohem menachashim u'mekaismim, because there are no snake charmers and soothsayers, occult practitioners amongst us. So that's the reason why. That's why we are deserving of blessing. Now, the Balei HaTosfos, very interestingly, they say that the word nachash comes from the terminology of making the effort. Like, for example, with regard to Lavan, who says to Yaakov, "Nichashti, I have divined, or I have tried to figure out what's going on. Why is it that my success happened in such an extraordinary way since you came?" And he says, I figured out that it's because of you. So what the Balei HaTosfos say is, "Ein l'nasseis, don't even try to curse them, because it won't work." So that's the kilei nachash. Kilei nachash, I'm not even going to try to bring about any kind of imprecation for the Jewish people, because kishuf, the black magic, won't help them. They are protected. But Rashi does not seem to follow that approach. He says, "Kiloi nachash," it's not why Bilam can't or what he can't do, but rather why we're deserving of blessing. Okay, I'm not going to focus on this. I'm going to move on. Ka'esi amar li'Yakov. At like a time like this, they will say to Jacob. So Rashi says the meaning of this is that just as now the Jewish people find tremendous favor in Hashem's eyes and Hashem shields them, so oid osed li es es ka es sazais. There's going to be a time like this again. So we came out of Mitzrayim, and Hashem loved us and shielded us and protected us and took care of us, and that was really nice. But doesn't look like that for the last few thousand years. Things haven't been so wonderful, and that's because we're living in an exilic reality, and things are not the way they could and should be. But Bilam says there will come a time when that will be the case again. It will be a time asher tigola chibason le'enkel, when their endearment will be recognized and appreciated by all. Shehen yeshvin lefanov v'leim dim Torah. They will, quote unquote, sit before him and learn Torah. Mipiv, from God's mouth. Umichitzasan, and their area of scrimmage, where the place they will occupy, will be lifnim mimalache hasharis. We will be closer to God than the angels. Veheim Yish'alu lahem, the angels who will be on the outside, will be asking Israel, "Ma palkel?" In other words, what did God just teach you? What's going on the inside? We'll have the inner track, and the malachim, the angels, will be on the outer track. And that's going to come again. But Bilam senses that this is the case now, and it will be in the future again, even though in the middle it's not going to be that way. Rashi goes on to say, "V'zeo shenemar." This is the meaning of the verse of in the 30th chapter of Isaiah. Your eyes will see your teacher. So who is your teacher? Your Meira, your teacher, refers to God. Because as Rashi here, quoting the Medrash, says, Yeshvin lefanov aleim dim Torah, will be sitting before God and learning Torah. So our eyes will see our teacher. Now we don't see our teacher. But when Mashiach will come, we'll see our teacher. Whatever that means. Now Rashi says davar acher. Another way of understanding this is yeyomer leYaakov eni loshen osid. Yeyomer is not the future. They will say, but rather it's loshen hoyve. This is current, ongoing. And what the meaning of this would be as follows. That this business of Bilam, who's a menachesh, who's a sorcerer, who's using all kinds of alien forms of spirituality to try to divine and connect to a higher form of consciousness so he should bring about what he seeks to curse the Jewish people. Einon tzrichim l'menachesh v'kesem. The Jewish people do not use these mediums. Whenever they need to know the future, or they need to know the mysteries of what's going on, what's the gzeda, what's the decree on high, we don't reach for mediums. We were informed by via, or by virtue of our prophets. Mahi gzeidas hamokim, what does Hashem want? Oy, or at a time sometimes we didn't have a prophet who could tell us. We had Urim v'tumim magidim lahem. We had the breastplate of the Kohen Gadol, which would miraculously light up. The letters of the engraved on the gemstones would light up, and that would give us an answer to the questions that we had to whatever it was the issue at hand. However, Rashi says v'unkelus leitir became unkelus did not render it as such. Rather, unkelus said that those who seek to harm the Jewish people and utilize mediums will not be successful, which really that's in line with the way the Balei HaTosfos explained this pasuk. Okay, so this is a lead-in. Now we know the Jewish people did something very unique, very special. Bilam has now spoken in a very complimentary fashion of Am Yisrael, although, by and large, the things we just read about now are, for the most part, futuristic or in the past. We used to have prophets. We used to have Urim v'Tumim. We don't have that anymore. Hashem will teach us Torah. We will see God face to face. We will experience His closeness. We don't experience it now in an overt fashion. However, the next verse does speak to us in today's day and age. Hein om kilav yakum. They are a nation who rises like a lion cub. Ucha'ari yisnasa, who raised himself up like a lion. Lo yishkav ad yoichal teref. They don't lie down, meaning go to sleep, don't retire, until they have torn their prey. V'dam chalolim yishta, and the blood of their victims have been drunk. Very strange verse. What does this mean? We are like a lion cub. We raise ourselves like a lion. What is going on with that? Why are we using this kind of metaphor? So we're going to take a look in Rashi. Obviously, as you know, none of this is literal. These are parabolic expressions, and they're all filled with euphemism, and they all have these like very, very deep and sometimes mystical interpretations and meanings behind them. Hein om kelavi yakum. They are a nation who rises like a lion. Let's look inside Rashi. Kishehem oimdim mishnasam. When they rise from their sleep, rouse from their slumber, shachras in the morning. Hey mizgabrim kilavi uchari. These are two different names for the lion. Usually the lavi is a lion cub or a small young lion, and ari is a mature lion. But at any rate, both of these names are introduced here. Different names for a lion, the young lion cub, the strong lion. So we rise, we have with the strength of a lion, we rouse ourselves from our slumber in the morning. Lachteif es hamitzvos. To search, to grab mitzvahs. Lil bish talis, to put on a talis, likris a shema, to read the shema, lahanich tefillin, to put on the tefillin. Now, even though usually you put on tefillin before you read the shema, so why does it say likris a shema and only afterwards to put on tefillin? So the Maskal of David says that because in those days they used to wear tefillin all day, they would put on tefillin in the morning and remain wearing tefillin. So that's when the krishma would read in the morning. So that's why he says, Lil Bish Talis, Likas Hashma, and Lahaniach Tefillin. In other words, like this. So, you know, like I spoke about on Shabbos, Zelda once asked me, am I Canadian first or a Jew first, right? I said, by 10 o'clock in the morning, I did so many Jewish things already. I didn't do anything Canadian yet. Yeah, of course I'm Canadian, and I try to follow the law of the land, and so on and so forth. But as a Torah Jew, the whole morning is filled with activities. That's how we lay the foundation for everything that's going to happen in the course of the day. And as a rule, Torah Jews wake up, rouse themselves early in the morning, and they have a busy morning. But they didn't, in a worldly sense, accomplish anything yet. They're just preparing themselves so that the day will be a meaningful day. So that's the whole idea. And Bilam saw that as a tremendous quality. He said, that's the kind of nation this is. This is the kind of nation that wakes up, that rouses themselves in the slumber, not to go swimming or experience aerobics, this is a nation that wakes up early in the morning, and the first thing they do, they involve themselves in spiritual activities. And that's what's great about Am Yisrael. And the pasuk says, Le'yishkav. Le'yishkav means they don't lie down, don't retire. Adyechel teref, what does this mean? It says the truth is, the day ends that way too. Ba'layla, they don't lay down at night on their beds. Atrahu eichel u'mechabel kol mazakar b'latarfei. Until any possible danger has been eliminated. So the lion makes sure they can sleep peacefully. Is there like a song like that? The lion sleeps peaceful tonight or something like that? Like, how does the lion sleep tonight? The lion sleeps tonight because he eradicates any kind of possible issue. Anybody who might threaten the lion finishes him off. And then the lion sleeps tonight. So this is what the lion does. And doesn't go to sleep until he's oichlu mechabel, until he eats, devours, destroys, gets rid of any kind of possible danger. Now, how does this work for us? It's Sunday morning, you wake up in the morning, you rouse yourself from the slumber, you come to shul and you learn and you daven. How does that work for the idea of going to sleep? So Rashi says, I'll tell you how. Because this is ketzad. How is that? Rashi actually verbalizes the question. It's a ketzad. How? What does this mean? So he says, kodesh shmal mitasei. What's the last thing a yid does? The first thing a yid does, wakes up in the morning and he's got spiritual pursuit. What's the last thing a yid does? He says Shema. That's what you do before you go to sleep. Krishma Shalomita. The Shema before you go to bed. Umafkid ruchay biyada makim. The last thing a yid does is he entrusts his soul in the hands of Hashem. So you wake up in the morning like a lion. You go to sleep at night, vaita like a lion. Wake up like a lion, go to sleep like a lion. Or at least we find the euphemism and parable and metaphor within the lion's methodology and within his schedule. Bo machane v'gayis lahazikam. And then if what happens, if somebody comes at night to harm Am Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu shoimrom v'nilchom l'chameseim, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu guards and watches them. And he fights the battles, mapilim chalolim, and then he will eliminate the enemy. Okay, so this is one idea that we can understand from the pasuk of Hein Am Kilav Yakum Ucha'ari Yisnaso. Now, there is another interpretation here, where Rashi actually refers to what happens in Bilam's own life. Bilam himself is eliminated by Moshe Rabbeinu and the Jewish people, who don't, so to speak, retire until they finish him off. But we're going to stick with we'll focus on the first interpretation because it actually speaks to us. So, Pasuk Chav Gimel, verse 23, it's very hard for us to relate to that. We don't feel that. We don't feel the sense of being in the know. We don't feel the sense of having knowledge that others don't have, that because the angels are asking us what's going on. Right now it seems to be just the opposite, but that is our glorious future. However, verse 24 very much speaks to how a yid lives his life. You rouse yourself like a lion and you retire like a lion. So now here's the question. When it comes to behavior, positive behavior, in the time of Yaakov Avinu, I certainly love this more than Bilam, but then again, it's not really Bilam's prophecies. God is just using Bilam as the mechanism through which the prophecies and the blessings are coming. So Yaakov Avinu, when he talks about the idea of prey, the idea of grabbing the mitzvahs, and Rashi used that exact terminology, he says that we are chaytfin es ha-mitzvahs. He used the word chaytif, right? Lachtef es ha-mitzvahs. So when we talk about the idea of lachtef, grabbing the mitzvahs, we actually refer in Yaakov Avinu's blessings, not to a lion, but we refer to the wolf. Binyamin ze'ev yitrif. Binyamin is a praying wolf, praying with an E. And here we say it means praying with an A. But why do we leave the wolf behind? Praying with an A, like to pray, right? A praying wolf, but not really a praying yid. But the idea is like, and the wolf prays. And we use the metaphor here of the lion, the prey of the lion, with an E. Prey of the lion. But what happened to the wolf? He was good last time. How come we left the image of the wolf behind, and now we specifically reach for the lion? That's the question that we're going to address now. So, open your Biyurim book. And here, we have the quote of the origin of Rashi, the original Rashi. The original ideas are found in Medrash Tanchuma. And it's slightly different. It's page pay. Simen Chaf. So in the Medrash Tanchuma, it doesn't mention the talus. It doesn't mention the tefillin. In the Medrash Tanchuma, it doesn't mention necessarily even the actual sleep that we all roused ourselves from recently to come here and to learn Torah. But rather, the Medrash Tanchuma says, Harehem yishenim min ha-teiro min ha-mitzvahs. There are often times that Yidden are sleeping. They slumber. They slumber insofar as Torah is concerned. They slumber insofar as mitzvah observance are concerned. Slumbering Jews, they're all over the place. You don't have to go very far to find slumbering Yidden. Just come out of your house, you live in Thornhill, it's full of Yidden, you'll find slumbering Yidden. Physically slumbering, materially slumbering, spiritually slumbering. Slumbering Yidden. Tens of thousands of Yidden living in the neighborhood. How many are coming to Daven in the morning? How many of them are rousing themselves like lions? Relatively very small amount. So the Medrash Tanchuma addresses this, and it says, it's true that sometimes we like slumbering. Slumbering from Torah mitzvahs. However, amdu mishinasam, when you wake a Yid up, once you rouse him, imdin ka'arayas, then you provoke the lion. So really there's a big neshama, but the neshama is sleeping. You just have to provoke him. You got to wake him up. And once you wake up that neshama, chaitfin kriyishma, they grab kriyishma, umamlichim lakadosh baruch hu, and they cry out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Melech HaKal HaOlam, God is King of the world. They establish and proclaim God's dominion. So we have this idea, Medrash Tanchuma says, not only this means literally that we woke up this morning and we grabbed the opportunity to come here and to perform mitzvahs and to be involved in avodat Hashem and serving of God, but in fact, even Yidden who are sleeping insofar as their spirituality is concerned, once they're provoked from one thing or another, they cry out the Shema and they're on board. Mamlichim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are many common denominators between the way Rashi puts this and the way it's found in the Medrash Tanchuma, but one obvious one is the word of chotfim. The Medrash Tanchuma uses the word chotef, which means to grab, and Rashi does not avoid using that word. He says lachtef es ha-mitzvahs. He also talks about grabbing. So whether we look at Rashi or we look at the origin of the teaching in the Tanchuma, we have this grabbing, and that brings the question to mind. Tzarech bir, madua mashva hamedrash es bnei Yisrael chotfim krishma dafke la'arayis. Why does the Medrash, building on the words of the Torah, emphasize the idea of grabbing with regard to a lion? B'nigud l'mekemes achedim, in contrast, sharp contrast to what's written elsewhere, both in the scripture with regard to Yaakov Avinu, but also in general with regard to what our sages say. There are several locations within the Torah where we refer to grabbing mitzvahs, and over there, the imagery that's evoked is not of a lion, but rather of a wolf. Now, both animals have a special place within the rubric of Jewish tradition. We all know people whose names are Aryeh or Label, and we all know people whose name is Zev and Wolf. So both of them are Jewish names. I don't know nobody named Sus, nobody named Ferd. It's like a horse. Anybody named Horse? Not Ferd. I know what a Ferd is. You have any friends named Ferd? No, I don't either. You have anybody whose name is Hunt? A dog? No? I heard people call other people a dog, but it's never, that's not a Jewish name. But the Jewish names that we do have, interestingly, are the lion and the wolf. So clearly, these animals have something in them that we seek to replicate or seek to, in some way, mimic. There's some kind of positive behavior here. There's something positive about the grabbing, about the bold hunting instinct and the grabbing. The question, though, we're asking today is, why here in Parshas Balak, why here in the prophecies of Bilam, that our sages, following the lead of the scripture, embrace the imagery of the lion and leave behind the wolf, especially because the word chotef or chatfanim, grabbing, is more of a wolf-like thing. The wolf is the praying wolf with the E. The praying wolf, not so much the praying lion. So the Rebbe suggests something meridic in a letter, one of the early letters the Rebbe wrote. The Rebbe says, Matzinu b'gemara, we find in the Gemara, Shaha Aryeh misyachid bekach shehu eini teiref. The lion actually does not pray with the E. He doesn't pray. What does it mean to pray? Kalemar, in other words, Hoydig is korban noisiv lefnei achilasam. When he finds his korban, he finds his, so to speak, his sacrifice. So he doesn't kill him and then eat him. eladoiris. What the lion does, he attacks. And he's oichel karbonosav ba'idim chayim. The lion devours his victim when the victim is still alive. Very different. You have to be very gutsy to do that. The wolf is not prepared to take risks like that. The wolf has to first kill his prey, and after he kills his prey, then he eats his prey. The lion grabs and eats. They tell a story of a cardiologist who had problems with his car, and he went to the local mechanic, and the mechanic fixed his engine. And he got a bill. It's a bill for $200. And the mechanic gets paid, and the cardiologist is asked by the mechanic, he says, what do you get paid an hour? He says, me, an hour? He says, yeah, you know, when you go and you do your surgery over there. He says, huh? Not $200. Not $200. Maybe $20,000. It's not a $200 job. So he says to him, I don't understand. He says, I just did open heart surgery on your car, and you get away with $200. You do open heart surgery, and it costs $20,000. So he says, let me see you do open heart surgery on the car while it's driving. Big difference, right? Yeah. So the lion, he is really mighty and powerful. He's eating his prey, and the prey is still alive. It's scary stuff. The wolf just goes and kills him. He's a chicken. He kills the chicken, but whatever. Like he kills him, and then he eats him. What does this all mean? This sounds crazy. What does this mean in Avedas Hashem? Well, Mashmaus Advarim ba'Avedas HaBeira, the intimation of what's being played out to us here within the rubric of service to God, is as follows. Ha'odom eini hoyrig es ha'yetzahara u'mavat le'esei. The person is not supposed to kill the Yetzahara, destroy the Yetzahara, literally strangle him, kill him, and then you move on. What should you do? Mishane tchunoysov shal ha'yetzahara atzmei. You're supposed to harness, sublimate, redirect the Yetzahara. Don't kill him, utilize him. You're supposed to get him on your side. You're supposed to use the aegis of the Yetzahara to further what the Nefesh HaLikis, what the godly soul is looking, what the Yetzer Tov wants. In fact, the Yetzer Hara has certain wherewithal the Yetzer Tov doesn't have. So how could the Yetzer Tov most effectively serve God? By converting the Yetzer Hara. When you turn the Yetzer Hara into a Yetzer Tov, now we're talking. And the Rebbe says, that's the message here. V'lachein mahavadavke ha'aryeh, mashal of Ne'esol, choit min krishma. When it comes to grabbing the Shema, we don't say lion. We don't say wolf, pardon me. We say specifically, lion. Why do we evoke that imagery? Because in Krishma we say, V'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha, you should love the Lord your God, b'chol, levavcha, two bases, levavcha, that's plural. It doesn't say libcha, it says levavcha. And our sages teach us in the Gemara and Brachas, tells us, what does it mean, b'chol levavcha? B'shnei yitzarecha, with both your inclinations. You're supposed to love God with your Yetzer Tov, and with your Yetzer Hara. And that, therefore, the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara, gam yachad, together, should be involved in the service of Hashem. And this, the Rebbe says, follows the image, not of the wolf, but rather of the lion. Kedarkei shel ha'aryeh, ha'oichel es karbonosav ba'idim chayim. He doesn't kill the sacrifice, he eats him. When he's still alive, don't kill your Yetzer Hara, devour your Yetzer Hara. In other words, a dead Yetzer Hara is of no help to anybody. Maybe he won't hinder you anymore because he's dead, but he also doesn't help you anymore. You want Yetzer Hara help. You don't just want to eliminate the enemy. This is called counterinsurgency. You want to take the enemy and turn him around. And if you want to be able to harness, then you can't just carve a bomb and destroy everything the enemy has, because then you can't utilize it. You want to be able to capture and redirect. And that is what Krishma is all about. And that's why the imagery here evoked here is not of the wolf who destroys, but rather of the lion who is able to utilize ba'idam chayim without removing or strangling or taking life, but to utilize that, its prey, when its prey is still alive. And now you know why we should rise like a lion. Transforming. That's correct.